Well, while Transnet's swing to profitability of 5 billion rand is commendable, the African Rail Industry Association argues that it's not a sweetener that should derail one from the parastatal's key underlying issues. The body warns that massive maintenance backlogs and a ballooning salary bill threaten the rail group's sustainability moving forward. Michael Avery caught up with Masela Nhlapo, CEO of ARIA, for more on their views and concerns in this regard. He kicked off the conversation by asking her what her first concern is about the way Transnet's results have been presented. Here's her response.
Of concern to us was from an 8.4 billion loss to a profit of 5 billion. It didn't make sense. So we thought that, you know, let's dig deep into this to find out where the 5 billion came from. And the reason was behind that most companies were complaining that they're not getting the service that they require to get from particularly Transnet Freight Rail. So say let's do a little bit of digging. And the numbers that we came up with, we saw that the revaluation of the properties, but from the TFR, the Transnet Freight Rail side, is the revaluation of the infrastructure itself, which it was valued at 6.6 billion.
Now, when you revalue infrastructure that has been criticized for falling apart, you chat to anyone who tries to shift freight over the rail network, be it on the commodity side or the general freight side, they all tell you the same thing, that it's in a fairly poor state. How does it accord with a revaluation upward?
Look, it will be interesting to know who did the evaluation and what informed the evaluation to be such, because we know that there's been underutilization of the track that we have done through our research. What we have also picked up is that the maintenance budget has been reduced over a period of 10 years. So the actual spend for 2012, for instance, was 3.5 billion rands. And where we are in 2022, we're looking at 2.5 billion rands. So in between, there is some significant decrease of maintenance. Now, maintenance is required for one to offer logistic, top tier logistic support for this industry, for the economy, and to ensure that we achieve some of the gains that come through the commodity boom.
And what has happened to the wage bill over that period? Because we know what happened at Eskom. The wage bill was certainly one of the big issues that laboured Eskom with the debt-heavy balance sheet that it has today. What's happening at Transnet?
Well, Transnet in 2012, they had about 7,500 employees. And the cost at the time for the per employee was about 280,000. Today, with the 2022 financial statements, we're looking at employees that are 13,000, but the salary bill has gone up significantly per employee to 581,000 and odd. But the 2022 one may be inflated because of the employees that took the VSP, but you can look at 2021.
Yeah.
Still, we're looking at very close to 500,000 per employee, average cost per employee.
I mean, it sounds to me like I'm working in the wrong company, firstly, but when it comes to network planning, I've heard that its multi-rail was cancelled over a decade ago. How does Transnet carry out network planning now?
Let me go back to the employee. One thing that we need to note that there was a 3,000 decrease in the number of employees, even though that the salary bill was going up. The multi-rail system was cancelled. We understand that it was cancelled 10 years ago, in 2010. And as a result, they use a manual system where I would assume that it contributes to the inefficiencies and the uncertainties and also how operations are run. One of the recommendations that we have issued with the media statement is that they must reintroduce the multi-rail or a system similar to that to manage their operations.
Yeah, one can't actually imagine that you managing and running a modern rail system via spreadsheets, Excel, having to manually update them when there's delays or changes and that kind of thing. What are the nub of your proposals to improve the situation at Transnet as we've got this national rail policy on the table and we've got third-party access, which really hasn't even got out the starting blocks?
Look. First of all, it's the introducing the multi-rail system. Two, secure and reintroduce the 300 stable locomotives. Three, implement the national rail policy as is. Not that the president tells us that there's going to be third-party access. Then there is a policy that is gazetted, and then Transnet Freight Rail go and do something completely opposite to what the president had pronounced on and what the policy said. And request government to drop the fuel levy on rail so that rail does not subsidize the road.
I mean, that is a curious situation that certainly is a throwback to a previous era. Ultimately, and we know what the issue with third-party access was around the slots being made available only for 2 years at Footstoots and bringing your members into the bargaining council. But isn't that what happens when Transnet is both the player and referee in the same process? Shouldn't this be managed by an independent third party?
Even we look at the independent third party, let's look at the government principles, the Batupili principles of transparency, consultation. Those were never done with the Transnet bid. There was no consultation. Industry was just told that if you don't say yes to the bargaining council, you are disqualified immediately. If you don't agree to the 2-year contract, you are disqualified immediately. If you don't agree to the footstools, you're disqualified immediately. So the way that they have structured the bid, it almost, personally, I feel that it was designed to fail, and so that the monopoly can continue a little bit longer. But we as industry, we are awake, we are aware of what is taking place around us, and we will not rest but act in the best interest of our country, ensure that we decrease unemployment.
That was Mesela Nhlapo, CEO of the African Rail Industry Association.